Well, greetings in the name of Jesus. This is Bishop Harry Wood with Foundational Faith Ministries. We want to come to you today and we want to share some more from Psalms chapter 119. We'll be looking at Psalms 119 verses 121 through 128 today. We want to continue our series that we have been doing for some while, and we will be finishing this up sometime this year. But there again, I hope that these have been encouraging. If you haven't picked up some of the other episodes on Psalms 119 in prayer, pick those up. I believe you would be encouraged by the reading of the Word of God, and definitely those things that we have commented on. Let's look in Psalms chapter 119, and we want to look at verse 121. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for my servant for good, and let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according to thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding, that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Today, as we look at this psalm, we look at it in a way that we want to acknowledge that the psalmist is praying. He's praying some specifics. And as we think about that today, we want to elaborate on some things. And as we look back to verse number 121, he is telling us that I have done judgment and justice. And so the psalmist is reminding the Lord, and of course we know that the Lord is the one that does righteous judgment and also justice. And we understand that the psalmist is praying here that I have, by the fact of saying done, I have committed or I have accomplished. And we know that God has accomplished through his word. He accomplishes his word. And then there's the word judgment. And we think about the word judgment, that let the verdict declare, I have accomplished your divine law. So the psalmist is agreeing of what can be accomplished when we take the word of God, and that we can acknowledge that we have kept God's divine law, or we're keeping God's divine law. And also that God is the righteous judge, or gives righteous judgment, or his word itself is judgment, or the right verdict in our behalf of his divine law. Justice, it's a righteous cause. Righteousness, it's that that's moral or legal. And it brings perpetuity. It brings not only perpetuity, but it brings prosperity and equality. You know, a lot of times we hear people talk about, well, we have injustices in this world. And we do, folks. And that's because of sin. That's because of man's unrighteousness. But there again, we need to be reminded that God's righteousness brings justice, and it'll help us to develop a lifestyle, to look at other people and to appreciate other people and to care for other people. And we know that the greatest care and benevolence that's ever been given to man, or poured upon, showered upon, shined upon man, was that of the love of God to send Jesus Christ as our Savior. This scripture talks about the oppressor, or it says, leave me not to mine oppressor. So the psalmist is also reminding the Lord not to allow him to be oppressed by the enemy, which means to press. It means to defraud. It means to violate or to overflow. And folks, if we ever in our life could say that there's those that want to oppress us, that wants to press us, issues that want to oppress us, things that are going on in the world, things that's went on in the last few years, in our government, with the economy, life itself, family issues, health issues, sometimes it just seems like it's overflowing. But I want to tell you, God's word is that we can commit to, and that God will bring a prosperity to us. Well, he will bring righteousness to us. As we look at Psalms 122 today, It gives us the thought of surety or security. The word there, be surety for thy servant. So the servant of God or the psalmist here is praying, Lord, I'm accepting, I'm wanting your security for me. And it says, for thy servant for good. And we need to understand that actually, as we understand, the word here is teaching us that we are his servants. And the word here, for thy servant for good. So therefore, there's this exchange for security in the place that we obtain. It's a place that's managed. It's a place that's occupied. It's a pledge that the servant has pledged to. And he understands that we see ourselves not as a slave in the sense of what we can think about in the aspect of what's took place in history. But there again, there's a love that we have for our Lord that we consider ourselves a bondservant. We want to be obedient. We want to listen to his voice. And so therefore, he is in exchange our security. He is that manages us. He's that is present with us. And we can be thankful for that today. The psalmist talks about also the word good here. This is for our benefit. The fact of our relationship with the Lord, and then the fact that he is our security, it's good. And the psalmist goes on and says, let not the proud oppress me. And that word proud there gives us an indication of someone that's arrogant or having or revealing an exaggerated sense of one's own importance or abilities. Now, folks, I want to tell you, the enemy out here is to do that. He is the accuser of the brethren. He wants to intimidate you. He wants to overflow you. He wants to defraud. He wants to oppress. But I want to tell you today, by the word of God, we can be encouraged today. And we can see that even this passage of scripture, chapter 119, verses 122, it is for our good, our betterment, for us to even come into joy or merriness, prosperity and favor, the psalmist is speaking of here in verse number 122. For good, let not thine oppressor, let the proud oppress me. So today we are declaring that we're not going to be intimidated by the enemy today. That's arrogant, that's proud, that has exaggerated things about us and brought it to attempted to bring it to the very throne of God in that of an adversary way today, because we're more than overcomers today. We're overcomers through Jesus Christ and by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, the word says in Revelation 12:11. And then as we look at verse 123, it says, mine eyes fell for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Now, this is interesting. We understand the word fail here talks about something that could perish, something that's wasted or even finished. But as I look at this, we need to realize that we can see that the eyes are something of the natural aspect of our ability to see or to outward things of appearance. And as I think about another passage of scripture, this passage of scripture, Psalms 119, 123, but this is in the New Century Version. It says here, my eyes are tired from looking for your salvation and for your good promise. Now, I want us to think about that, what is being said there, because in the natural, we can tire. In the natural, we can become tired. But I want to say today that he is our strength. He is our help. And let us remember what the psalmist goes on to say in this scripture, and for the word of thy righteousness. So wherever in the natural, there may be this where we can tire, we can get our eyes tired. Has your eyes ever got tired? Mine has from reading or studying. But I want to tell you today, we need to realize that through his salvation, we will not perish. And God understands there's a natural, You know, I was going through some affliction, and I've shared some of it. I won't go back into all of it right now, but I was going into a period of time there that I was afflicted in my body with sickness and disease, and God has healed me miraculously. But let me tell you, there was times that I felt bad in the past that I would fall asleep praying at night and spending time with God, laying there upon my bed. But I'm going to tell you, it was restoration. It was strength, knowing that I was in the presence of God, even though my natural body became tired. And there again, we see in this passage of scripture that it says here, or it uses the word salvation. So let's put the emphasis on salvation here. It is that's prosperity. It is that gives us victory. It is deliverance. It's for our welfare. It's for our health. And actually, in the Hebrew, we find the name of Jesus, Yeshua. We find the very name. And so therefore, even in the midst of our weaknesses, our tiredness, whatever, our reflection must remain on the fact in our spiritual sight that He is our salvation. He is our victory. He is there for our welfare, for our health. And His name is Jesus. His name is Yeshua. Blessed be the name of the Lord today. Hallelujah. As we continue to look, it uses the word there in 123, for the word of thy righteousness. For the word of thy righteousness. Now, when we think of the word, we think of something being spoken. And then we see that it goes on and it says, the word of thy righteousness. So the psalmist is expounding upon the fact in this time that he's praying to God that he realized that it is the righteousness of God. And then again, it gives us the understanding of where we have already talked about, how that there is an enemy and he is going to declare things that and expound on things in such a way. But let me tell you, we need to realize that when we look at the righteousness of God, it is bringing that of prosperity, equity, and moral and even legal precedents for us today. So don't forget that today. His righteousness is that gives us benefit where we need it most. Amen. Let's move along. I know we've got a lot to cover here, but we're trying to be precise as much as possible, give you some tidbits. I hope you'll go back and study these passages of scripture more in depth. In verse 124, deal with thy servant according to thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. This, as this prayer continues, we see that the psalmist is saying in his prayer that be consistent with us according of His favor and His mercy. So he's continuing to ask God or the Lord to be merciful. And he goes on and he continues to make a reference to the fact of teach, to give us instruction and let us be teachable. Yes, by all means. And he's talking about there the statutes, which is the decrees, the commands, the ordinances of God. So therefore, the psalmist is continuing to remember that as he prays for that of the mercy of God, the favor of God, and the very word of God to be taught and to be his instruction. In verse 125, he says there, I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Again, we see a personal acknowledgement that the servant is making. He's making a personal acknowledgement of who we are or who he is. And so therefore, he says, I'm your servant. He goes with his prayer declaration of who we are in Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're his servant. And we are also blessed. And the psalmist here is talking about, again, give me your understanding, and which is talking about beyond the natural reasoning. Now, we need our natural reasoning, but we also need to understand that we need the reasoning and the understanding of God and His Word. And he says, as he continues that passage of Scripture 125, that I may know thy testimonies. He is actually saying, I want to hear, I want to know, I want to be a witness of the fact that God Himself is a witness when He speaks of His own testimonies, when He speaks what God says. And that's what we must do, is become witnesses of what God has said. And we speak what God says. In verse 126, it talks about there, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Now, this is interesting. As you look at the word, it is time. And again, I can't re-emphasize enough that God works in eternity, but thank God in the realms of mankind, He does have seasons. He does have times that we can acknowledge that in due season, associated, as we could look at that phrase there, and we know that God in His Word even speaks of evening and noon. We see even in the realms of season or due season or time periods of that of mealtime, we see that even we find that there was times of prayer, evening, morning, and at noon. We find that God Himself came in the cool of the day, the evening, and in the Jewish culture, the day starts at in the evening at 6 p.m., the new day. And so therefore, we can understand that God in due season. And the psalmist here actually is not only speaking about the fact that there's a time, it is time for thee, O Lord, to work. We can understand that he is declaring that God, you are going to accomplish. And the word work there gives us an understanding of something that's being accomplished for a purpose. And as we go on, we can see that the psalmist says, for they have made void thy law. So the psalmist here in his prayer is making a declaration that he understands that there are those that are out to work against the word of God and the law of God. The law speaks of the Torah, the foundation of truth. And I want to give you four things to think about, and we can't exhaust them in this teaching by no means, everything that could be expounded upon. But the law speaks of the Torah, the foundation of truth. He says they have attempted, or they want to attempt, to destroy the foundation of truth. First of all, we see that a truth, a foundational fact of importance, is that people want to, and the enemy want to disvalue the eternal existence of a God, of God Himself. And then we see that man in his own way wanting to exalt himself. We see that he wants to chip at and destroy the foundation truth, or the foundational truth that man is a created being. Man exists by that of the creation of a master, of that of intelligence, that of the divine creator himself, God Elohim. Then thirdly, God's redemption plan. Man has attempted from Adam and Eve to find another way to bring themselves into being clothed again, or to hide their sin, or hide their reproach, or hide their shame. But God is the one that has implemented the redemption plan for mankind, no matter who you are, to be redeemed back to God. Then fourthly, another thing that I believe that has been chipped at, the very foundation of truth, is that God's seed, and that's the nation of Israel, how that God set forth a people to bring forth a Messiah, to bring forth the oracles of God, to bring forth the Word of God. And there's so many other things that we could lay as foundational, but these four things I hope that will be helpful for you to understand how that the enemy desires, and even the philosophies and those things that man himself will try to invent, try to teach, philosophize, even in our universities, in our schools, and they want to chip, they want to tear at the foundation of truth today. And those four things again, that God is an eternal existence. Man was created in God's image, and we exist because of that. And thirdly, God's redemption plan. It's His plan of redemption that works, nothing else. And then God's seed. God made a way for his Savior to come into the world, and for us to have the Word of God through using that of the house of Israel. Those are four things that we could even expound on other things. But let's move along in verse number 127. Verse 127, it says, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. And I know in our economy, we look at the fact of gold being something of great value, one of the most great of value of giving some understanding of things economically, possibly. But the psalmist here is making a statement that I think that's important. He talks about, therefore, I love thy commandments. And so we see that he has an affection. The psalmist is saying, I have an affection. And actually, we understand that there is several words that we can expound on or could expound on for love. But we, especially in the Greek, at least 5 to 7 words, and one is definitely agape. But here in this passage of Scripture, the word love here, when we think of it from the Greek, from the Hebrew, we're getting more of a simple understanding that it could be sexual, even to that of otherwise, of friendship, that of close companion, that of affection. But there again, the decree of importance here that's being spoken of is how our passion, how our love for God's Word ought to be. It ought to be. And so we find in this passage of Scripture, the word commandment, which could also be human or divine law. And every law that we have ought to be that was designed and comes from the divine law of God for it to be proper and to be in any way of order and righteous. But we see that the psalmist is talking about what he loves is the commandments of God, the laws and ordinances of God. And then he gives this statement, yea, above fine gold. He says, I love it to the extent upon that I would value it above the value of gold, the very word of God. So that shows a closeness, that of the affection, that of the importance, the value of God's word. Let's move to verse 128. I know this has been a pretty quick study today, and I encourage you to go back and look over these thoughts, share them with a group. And hopefully it'll be beneficial to you as you study these things more in depth yourself. But let's look at verse 128 before we leave each other today. In verse 128, it says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Now, there's a lot said there in that passage of Scripture, but I'm going to try to wrap it up with just a few things here. And this is what I'm going to say, that I think we could actually subtitle this verse, Final Conclusion of the Psalmist. These are some final thoughts that the psalmist is saying in this portion of these 8 verses, verses 121 through verses 128. He says, therefore I esteem. And when we see the word esteem there and the word precept, we begin to develop the thought of how important the precepts of God are and that they are properly appointed. God Himself properly appointed His precepts, and they have benefit. They fit to bring proper or prosperous benefits to each and every one of us, because He says concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Now, earlier in verse 127, we were talking about how the psalmist here attempts to put a value on the love that he has for the commandments, the word of God, the statutes, the decrees of God. And here he uses the strongest word that we have that a lot of times we don't want to use the word hate. As a matter of fact, someone told me one time that I shouldn't use the word hate. There is a time that it's appropriate. I don't hate a sinner, but I hate sin. I don't love the devil. I hate his ways. And he made a decision, and he fell out of fellowship with God, and he exalted himself with pride. But let's move on with our thought here as we think about the fact that it is for our benefit, the fact that he has properly appointed his word, which is his precepts, and they are to bring about profitable benefits for mankind. And then with that of the thought of hate, we see that the psalmist here concludes his words in verse 128, I hate every false way. Now, what is the psalmist saying here? He is saying that he hates the ways, every false way, which implies anything that is untruth, anything that implies lying, that is not true. And we need to come back to realize that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And today we need to realize how important applying the Word of God. And if we don't speak the Word of God, we don't take the Word of God and apply those things that have properly been appointed by God, we are actually lying. We're lying to ourselves. We're not saying that God can do those things that He said He would do. And I want us to realize also, there's the thought that when we think of God properly appointing things, that God made a mandate, or God makes mandate. And this is something else that we don't have the time today to exhaust, but I want to give you some things to think about. The word mandate is actually an understanding of an official order or commission to do something. Now, I want us to think about some things, and you take the time to go and write these scriptures down and read them, because these are just going to be some reference scriptures. I'm going to make four thoughts or 4 points of scripture, and I want us to think about some mandates that God's gave, that God has gave mankind that will benefit us. They are properly appointed for a purpose that brings about blessing and prosperous benefits to mankind in the natural and in that of redemption. Now, first of all, I want us to think about what God told the house of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. We find that we find those great words to the house of Israel, which means that this is to make their confession, hear, O Israel, and how He tells them to love the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their might. And we find in verse number 4, I'm just going to read those verses. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now, we could talk about this passage of Scripture in such a way that we could expound another 30 minutes, but I'm not going to take that. I want you to understand the word, Hebrew word, Shema, comes here. Actually, we need to make this our declaration. The word here means Shema, our confession. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We must acknowledge that the Lord our God is one. He is our Lord, and that we're going to love Him with all our heart. We're going to love Him with all of our soul, and we're going to love Him with all of our might. And we're to keep these words. And here's where we need to realize the importance of the perpetuity of what God has instructed us, mandated us to do. We are to teach our children, and we are finding a deficit in that. Our schools have turned away from it. Our homes have turned away of reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, sharing the Word of God, teaching our children. We must return to it. Then in Acts chapter 16, verses 30-31, we find the situation of Paul and Silas in prison, and the jailer, and you read the information if you're not familiar with it, but Paul and Silas are in jail. Earthquake takes place. The cells are busted open, and the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? There is a mandate. There's a question that's a mandate, but yet are being given, but for a mandate to be given. And we see that Paul and Silas says that he was to call upon the name of the Lord. A lesson, the Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's a mandate. Man must call upon God for redemption. They must accept. Then in Acts, well, that was Acts 16, verses 30 and 31. Then another mandate that I think is important that is actually twofold. We need to see in Matthew's Gospel 28, verses 18 through 20, and also Mark chapter 16, the latter verses there, where it talks about water baptism. Now, I'm not going to get into the doctrine of water baptism. I'm going to say this much. We need to realize that we are needing to be immersed into the body of Christ. Immersed into the body of Christ. I can't say that enough. And so therefore, when we get the right comprehension of baptism, but even the water baptism is to be representative, and we have been given a mandate to follow the Lord in baptism. The Lord himself was baptized to show forth righteousness. He didn't get baptized to get saved. He showed forth righteousness. And so therefore, we are showing forth righteousness that has been acquired as we have been baptized into the body of Christ. And maybe we'll teach on baptism sometime in the future. The other thing that I want us to see that is a second point of these scriptures in Mark's Gospel 16 and then Matthew 28, 18, we have been given a mandate as believers to go forth with the Great Commission. And let me encourage you to do it one-on-one. You may not have the means to do it with that of many people. Maybe your area of ministry is not pulpit. But listen, we can each one reach one. And if each one will reach one, and when they reach one, we will see a massive growth of that of the body of Christ. And the Word teaches us to instruct. It teaches us to teach. It teaches us to disciple those. So also not only reach people with the message of Jesus, tell them your story, how that you trusted Christ, and let it line up with his story. And I know that you will be effective with somebody that you can reach personally with that of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to pray with you today. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share these passages of scripture. I pray that every person that's listening today, Lord, that you will encourage them, bless them. I pray that if they're not a believer today, that they'll call upon the name of the Lord. They'll ask you to save them. They'll ask you to forgive them of their sin. Lord, I pray that you, even right now, Lord, freshly, of that of Pentecost power, Lord, that you freshly, Lord, would just breathe upon your church, your my brothers and my sisters, Lord, in many different lands that are listening, many different countries that are listening today. Lord, I pray for the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the four winds of the earth today. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus today. We thank you for our dear friend, our closest friend, which is Jesus that sticketh closer than a brother. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you today. It's been an honor to be with you today and share these things. We will be coming back with more of Psalms 119 in the near future. And you have a wonderful and blessed day today. If you would like to reach out to us, you can do that. You can reach us at Pastor Harry 8700 at yahoo.com. God bless you. Share the video. Share our videos that are on YouTube if you want to check us out there, Foundational Faith Ministry. Also, share these podcasts with others if you know someone that you know that they would be a blessing. God bless you today.